Our scripture lesson is from the Gospel of Luke. We'll be reading from chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. This is a parable of Jesus, a story told, made up, a made-up story with made-up characters that Jesus offered to his disciples as a way of helping them learn a lesson that he wanted them to have. Let us now listen for God's word to us today. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, "In a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city, there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against my opponent.' For a while, he refused. But later he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So as the pastors and worship team brainstormed ordinary things for this summer sermon series, Dr. Seuss came up. Finding God in the spiritual juice of Dr. Seuss is not actually that hard, and it can be a lot of fun. So we're going to be a bit playful this morning. I wonder what Dr. Seuss stories you remember from reading to your children, or perhaps as a child yourself. I wonder if there are any that you can still recite from memory. Among the most memorable is Green Eggs and Ham. "I am Sam, Sam I am. That Sam I am, that Sam I am. I do not like that Sam I am." Do you like Green Eggs and Ham? And so the story begins. In his classic meter and rhyme, Dr. Seuss gives us a story that has delighted for generations. What parent cannot relate to the experience of introducing a new food only to have his or her child flatly refuse to try it? What child does not giggle with glee of recognition at the stubborn resistance of the character who would not eat green eggs and ham? Not in a box, not with a fox, not in a house, not with a mouse, not here or there or anywhere. I do not like green eggs and ham. I do not like them, Sam. I am. I'll spare you the whole chapter and verse, but to suffice it to say that Sam I am never runs out of ideas. He perseveres with invitation after invitation in a list of creative ways and places and companions for consuming the dreaded green eggs and ham. The story turns when Sam's friend finally relents, when he summons the courage, when he lets down his defenses, when he tries on trust and agrees to give it a shot. There's a shift. He discovers he can swallow what he thought he didn't like after all. "I do so like green eggs and ham. Thank you, Sam and Sam I am." For the community of disciples to whom Luke directed the words of his gospel, disappointment, discouragement, and disillusionment had set in. Jesus had come into their lives and forever changed them. His resurrection had vindicated the demoralizing finality of his death, and his ascension to the right hand of God had been accompanied by the promise of his return, when the kingdom he had proclaimed and embodied would be fulfilled. They had believed in the powerful promise of a world healed and completed in God's love, of justice delivered, making all things right for all of creation, of healing among nations and peace among people. Any day now, they thought, they could expect deliverance from the daily difficulties of living by faith in a world that didn't look highly upon Christians. Any day now, the persecution would stop. Any day now, vindication would come. But it wasn't happening. I do not like it, Sam, I am. I do not like green eggs and ham. And so Luke recalls this story once told by Jesus that shows what it takes to live with a faith robust enough to live with confidence and trust in the gap between the promise of tomorrow and the realities of today. Jesus got playful too, with a story whose made-up characters teach us about our need to pray always and not lose heart. First, Jesus gives us this widow with no husband, no inheritance, no social standing. She is by herself, with herself, fending for herself. Not only must she contend with the circumstance that brought the loss of her husband and status and community, she also has to contend with an opponent, an adversary, for unnamed reasons. So she goes to plead for justice to the one whose job it was to provide it. But the judge of Jesus' parable cannot be trusted to be fair. He cannot be counted on to be reliable. When it comes to administering justice, he doesn't, and it isn't fair. And yet she comes. Again and again, she nags, she badgers, because her fate depends on it. She is relentless about demanding her due. After all, the laws of Israel were designed to protect people like her. Throughout the Hebrew Scriptures, it is written that the community was to care for widows, orphans, and strangers as God cared for Israel. So she had every reason to expect justice, except that the judge of Jesus' parable, by his own admission, neither fears God nor respects people. He lives to himself and for himself and makes no apologies about it. There is not a shred of shame or remorse in him. Still, she finds the courage and tenacity to pound on his door. She summons conviction and creativity to speak her truth to corrupt power over and over again. Like Sam, I am. Would you, could you in the dark? Would you in the rain? Could you with a goat? Could you on a boat? When the judge finally opens his mouth, true to character, he mutters to himself, though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice, so she will not wear me out by continually coming. The Greek New Testament uses language drawn from the boxing arena and actually translates, so she may not come and punch me in the face. When justice finally comes, it's not because the unjust judge is suddenly convinced of the merits of her case, nor does Jesus endow him with a sudden rush of kindness, compassion, or empathy. There's no indication of repentance here, nothing that signifies a change of mind or heart toward God or people. The judge of Jesus' parable grants justice simply so she will go away and stop bothering him. Her perseverance wears down his resistance. True to his identity, he is unjust to the end. Will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry out day and night? Is the rhetorical question Jesus tags onto the end of this parable. Will he delay long in helping them? Jesus turns the tables in this story to assure us that God is not like this unjust judge. God will hear, God will act, God will not delay. For those who pray their hearts out and pound on unyielding doors, lamenting all that is unfair, unresolved, and incomplete, this parable holds out hope in the never-failing, steadfast love of God. For we all pray for things we do not receive, and we may live for a very long time with difficult circumstances that just don't change. We may endure with things we do not like, and we may suffer as we witness a world that falls far short of the justice we know God wants and has promised. I do not like it, Sam, I am. I do not like green eggs and ham. So what fuels our perseverance then? Jesus insists that prayer does. In these caricatures of ourselves, we learn that a robust faith comes from holding nothing back from God. Bring it. The image on the screen comes from a prayer room in Charlotte, North Carolina. The room is part of a global initiative called 24/7 Prayer. It's a movement that's mobilizing people for Christ-centered, mission-minded prayer. To get people praying, they're planting these prayer rooms in public spaces, and these rooms contain resources designed to help people go from monologue to deep, life-giving, life-changing dialogue with God. There is the usual stuff in these rooms, like Bibles and candles, crosses and rocks, music and art, paper for writing down prayers, coffee, visual images, and words, all provided for those who wish to step out of the fray and refuel. But my attention was gathered by this image from the prayer room in Charlotte that has a corner called Pick a Fight, replete with boxing gloves and an invitation to pick something, anything, cancer, bullying, racism, and fight it as a spiritual practice. Have you ever thought about prayer as picking a fight with God? The widow shows us that there are at least two ways to pick a fight with God. We could pound on the doors of the unjust judges of our time. Using our voices and our influence, we could fight against the things that are happening in our world that tick us off. We could align our words and actions with the justice we know God wants, especially for the least, the lost, and the left out. But there's also picking a fight with God that goes beyond polite and pious prayer words, with prayers that come to God like the widow of our parable. What makes you angry? Bring it. Who or what is your adversary? Name it. Where do you see stuff that you just can't accept? Tell it. How has life given you an invitation you would not have chosen for yourself? Give it. Let God hear it. Let God have it. So it doesn't leak out of you onto others, or stay bottled up inside of you where it's going to keep coming up. Pick a fight that opens you to the lifeline who is God. The 24/7 prayer people call the space they've created a prayer room for people who live in the real world. We call it church. Either way, we're talking about spaces for prayer as a fueling station for the spiritually hungry that instigates both a vertical dialogue and a goodness revolution in our world. And I don't know about you, but I want to go there. I need to pray, read, reflect, study, journal, intercede, fight, trust, paint, draw, create, sing, chill, be still. Because that is how I find God, when life offers me green eggs and ham. Not in a box, not with a fox, not in a house, not with a mouse, but in authentic dialogue with God, with life-altering encounter with God, in a mad mission to make friends with God, with the spiritual juice that moves me towards justice with God. It is my only hope to keep the vision of Jesus in my sights, my best chance to encounter his heart, to bear his likeness, to carry out his life's work. It is my fuel, my wind, it's how we roll. So what would you put in your 24/7 prayer room that would keep you in communion with God? Why not go there? If you will pray always and not lose heart, says Jesus, you can count on God, who not only grants justice to his chosen ones, whatever tomorrow brings, but when the Son of Man comes, he will find faith at crossroads. Thank you, Sam, I am, and thanks be to God. Amen.